So big changes over here on my end. I'm afraid that I have left my family, abandoned my wife, abandoned my son, because I'm scared to tell everybody this, to stand in my truth, but I have found a new bride, and it is the open skies.
Okay.
I'm married to the skies, the big blue skies, the clouds. When it's nighttime, it gets dark, and there's stars and the moon. Married to that one, too. If it's up, I'm married to it, and that's my new bride. And the plane is my my marital bed.
It's your condom. The plane's your condom that protects you from getting killed by the skies.
Right. Yeah. No, the skies would destroy me if I was. It's very cold from what I understand. But I do love it very much. And it's my it is my wife. My wife.
My wife.
Wah, wah, wah.
Justin's gotten a lot of use out of that that Borat button, unfortunately.
Yeah. I only play it in circumstances, though.
Anyway, I noticed that you guys were looking at the sky yesterday. What the fuck, man? That's my wife.
Uranus. Oh. Uranus is the god of the sky. Oh. You're married to Uranus.
No.
You're so much better. Hey, Chris, can we step outside the episode? You're so much better than that. You've been my friend for a while now. I know what you're capable of. You're so much better than that.
It's just mythology. Yeah, Justin, you're raising your hand. Justin, yes?
I was trying to, that was a secret symbol to you guys to stop talking there because we got it. Because we nailed it. And I don't want to waste more time after Russ just wasted it a half hour of our lives. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best flight simulator of the year.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I'm free falling.
My name is Ross Frosch, and I know the best plane of the week. I wish I hadn't stumbled
wow.
over it. It
you did
so
not
good.
Stick the landing. That was three bumps on the runway.
Also, Chris, if you're free falling, you're not doing a good job
no.
in your airplane.
That's bad
plane. I know that because I just spent a whole week playing Microsoft Flight Simulator.
You know, things are rough out there in video games. There are not a lot of releases to go around. And we were so excited to find this major. Here's some of the ones that are, I'm looking at the list of new releases according to Giant Bomb. Quarantine Arena came out this week. Death and End Re-Quest 2. Big Farm Story, Operation Zeta. Wait, Life is Beautiful.
Wait, they made it all one title? Life is Beautiful?
Wait, Life is Beautiful. So it's tight times, but this is a big one for dads. It's Microsoft Flight Simulator, and there's not a subtitle on this, right? It's just Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Well, it's a Microsoft Flight Simulator, colon, Z2 Dreams of Genesis hashtag colon remind.
Microsoft Flight Simulator is the new game from Microsoft. It's the latest in the Flight Simulator series. It allows you to fly around the entire world, and that is all you need to know for now, because we're going to take a very quick break, and then after this we'll come back and everybody will be like, Chris, you were so right, this is the best game of the decade. So I can't wait for you all to hear that praise. We'll see you in a bit.
You can't see him right now, but Chris is fully rigid.
Oh.
We're back, and we're ready to take to the sky. We're clear of the runway, and this bird is lifting off. We've got our trim right, and we've got our flaps all the way up. That's right. This is just some airplane lingo I picked up from Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Chris, you are the champion of this game. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, there will be a week where...
Actually, if you look at the leaderboards, I'm the champion of Microsoft Flight Simulator. You got the highest scores, most kills.
Yeah. You were the one who brought this game to us and said we had to do it. And I had not followed this particular iteration of Microsoft Flight Simulator. I have never played a flight simulator game. I'm wondering why you were... This is nothing to do with the quality of the game, but like, what was it about this game and the buzz around it that made you so hyped for it?
Sure. I mean, I think this game is, one, it's a great game. We can debate that in a minute. But I think the one thing that is, like, not debatable is it's a watershed technological achievement. It is something I think Microsoft has been striving for, I don't know, at least the past decade, to have something where they're taking their advancements across different parts of their business, right? So, like, games and hardware and whatever, AI, and bring them together to achieve something, like, magical. So Kinect tried to do that. HoloLens tried to do that. And then Flight Simulator is, I think, the, like, oh, you found the porridge. It's just right. Here, the way they created this game is it's effectively a traditional flight simulator, but then they also took all of the information they have from Bing Maps, probably the first only great use of Bing Maps. They have a map of the entire world. And then they used 3D modeling, topographical scans from all sorts of data pools. And then they use things like Microsoft Azure cloud computing to actually stream those into the world when you are flying around it. So you can do something like fly from Kansas City to New York City. And as you are flying close to the ground, you will see believable 3D recreations of a lot of known cities. It also uses all these mathematical equations for what is it? Procedural generation to kind of fill in the gaps. So a thing like flying over my neighborhood, you don't see a totally like pinpoint accurate version of my neighborhood, but you see an accurate version of houses where they would be, yards mm-hmm. that are roughly the same size, because it's procedurally generating what it can read off of a 2D map to make it look 3D. And it's incredible. It's truly incredible to be able to say, I'm going to fly anywhere in the world and see it. Sorry, just one quick example that I think like hits us home in a weird kind of tragic way. There have been nonprofit journalism groups that have used it for like research already, and being able to like visit areas of the world that you couldn't visit, like mining zones or no-fly territories like North Korea, and like that opportunity to go see parts of the world that truly you will never see, like that's just a gift. Like that to me is very cool. But then there's a game tied to that, and that's where I think we're going to find the friction.
Here's the thing I will say. I don't know that you can debate the fact that it is an extremely good flight simulator. It is, in terms of, I didn't have what I would call traditional fun when it came to flying the plane, when it came to takeoff and finding the correct attitudes and landing.
It's not Pilot Wings, is what you're saying.
It's not Pilot Wings. It's not, well, the thing that I kept coming back to was like GTA 5. GTA 5, huge map. You have lots of different sort of aerial ways of getting around it. And there is a certain amount of this sensation of like, I'm flying over the, you know, fake Grand Canyon or whatever right now, that you get to, you know, a much sort of richer, more realistic degree with Microsoft Flight Simulator. But also you can bank on a dime in GTA 5. You can like do insane booster stuff. Like it is, they have taken a sort of simulation approach, but also injected some fun stuff into it. And Microsoft Flight Simulator doesn't have the fun stuff into it. It's just a very, very straightforward simulator. Straightforward in the sense that, like, they have sort of perfectly recreated, I think, what you have to do to fly an airplane. And I think that that's kind of miraculous. And as somebody who used to fly a lot, I didn't realize how into that I would like how relatable.
By fly, you mean you ride an airplane?
Right. No. Yeah. I have exposure to airplanes. Right? Sure. Sorry. I probably phrased that in a wild way. Like, I didn't think I was going to find anything entertaining about this aside from the map. Right. But I have been in airplanes a lot and never really given a shit about how this huge vehicle that I ride around in, you know, several dozen times a year actually functions.
Yeah, if there was one person before all this that I was going to predict would enjoy it, it was you, Griffin, because you are the person who I think really enjoys just figuring out how things work, especially in virtual things. And wow, does this game offer that opportunity? The problem is, oftentimes it throws you into a brand new Boeing plane and it's like, well, here's how to adjust these two knobs. Those other 30 buttons, I don't know, go download like a PDF from Boeing. Let me know when you've read it all. Good luck.
So let me just boil down a few things. One, you know, I've had, as with Griffin, a passing interest in the idea of flying. And I think I was not expecting to find as much satisfaction as I did just from the tutorials of the game, which I think are very, very well done. Because you get dropped in and you have all these dials in front of you. And all they really tell you are the like dials you need to care about at the current moment, which I think is very smart. And it actually started making me realize that like the act of flight, which has always seemed like this like totally beyond me, no way I could ever figure it out, was like weirdly attainable, even though obviously the money and danger are elements that are removed from this. But the actual like things that you are doing while you are flying or taking off or landing are like vaguely attainable things, which I found like pretty miraculous and incredible, and made me really like pretty jazzed about it. But I would say on the flip side, like A, you need a pretty beefy setup to run the game, and B, unlike Chris Plant, I do not have an ultra widescreen amazing super monitor. I have a fucking laptop monitor, so I'm basically like crouched in front of this thing with an Xbox controller, which I wouldn't recommend either, but it's fine, staring at this little screen, and like all the dials and stuff are so jammed in that you constantly have to like maneuver and like literally use the camera to look down at the things to see like what your altimeter is. And it's a lot. Like you kind of, to really get the right experience, you need like a pretty baller setup.
One second. I'm gonna open this can. Oh, that's fresh. That's a fresh can of undiluted hoops that is about to come in here and just take a big ol' swig of Microsoft Flight.
It's neat. I mean, the maps were cool. Uh-huh. I flew over Disney World. That was fun. Got to go see the Doos. Been a little bit.
Is Epcot there?
Oh yeah.
And like the thing,
the modeled and everything. Yeah, it's cool. It's neat. Here's what I would say. My complaints. Okay, I have actual complaints and then fake complaints. I'll do the actual complaints first. I actually am kind of with Griffin that like I was finding the learning about the stuff pretty interesting, and then there's a point of proficiency where it's just like, we're not going to teach you more than you know right now. And it's not particularly dynamic in terms of you've gotten off out of whack here. Let us help you sort of like figure it out, or like here's some tool tips that will help you to get it back. So there was a lot of times where I would be like trying to do a tutorial. I just did one of the next class tutorials where I was supposed to like follow all this navigation, and then it's giving you like, you have to do a huge turn to go into the airport, and it was showing me like indicators for like where to turn, right? And so I passed one and I started turning right where it told me to, and the indicator didn't change and it didn't pick up with me. And I was like, okay, so I'm just going to, I guess, just keep going on my own and kind of figure it out. And then I just kind of figured it out. And then they were like, that was actually not very good. That's not what we wanted to do. We're going to start the lesson over. 20-minute long tutorial level. We're going to start it over because our indicators didn't, like, see what you were doing. So, like, that stuff. And there's stuff like it tells you to adjust the trim to sort of make it so that you don't have to fool with your controls that much.
Love the trim.
Plane will kind of like, love the trim. You can do vertical trim, right? And there's a little, like a little indicator. If you back out to the third person view, there's a little indicator that shows your vertical trim. And then there's supposedly horizontal trim. And I was tweaking it, but there's no indication of what was happening. Ditto with your flaps. You're supposed to raise and lower flaps. There's no indication that I could see of like, what they were, unless my controller was like broken, I was like constantly veering to one side. Like my plane would just always be pulling one way or the other. And I just couldn't figure out how to make that not the case. And there's a lot of other stuff with like, and there was just like some jank. Like I have a good computer. It's like pretty beefy. And I had multiple crashes. And let me tell you,
did you come down land? Did you put the landing gear down?
Okay. I had multiple software crashes. And I had multiple incidences where like I'd just be in the middle of a flight and it would just crash. And I was like, well, okay, I'll just do that again, I guess. The other thing, the bigger, the fake things, and that is things I would actually level at it, is like It holds your hand, but like not as much as I wanted as like a complete neophyte. And especially like with bigger planes, as far as I could tell, there's not like a, there's not tutorials on like, here's how to fly a 787, like, which I took off from the airport in Huntington, which was hysterical. I was like, leveling the buildings as with my wing, just like went right through the Tudor's biscuit world at CRW. Just kidding. That Tudor's was actually run out of business. But so the I wish that also there was a little bit of, I would like to just do dumb, like I wish there was some sort of way to just do dumb shit to in, like check out the map. The map's cool enough that I wish there was just like a jetpack or a helicopter or something where like I didn't have to fuck with like flight and I could just go like explore, you know what I mean? Because like, for me, there isn't a game in Microsoft Flight Simulator in the way that we traditionally would use the term game. For me, the game of Microsoft Simulator was I'm on track to where I'm going. I see kind of the navigational stuff. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I kind of see what I need to do, and I just need to keep flying straight for another 15 minutes. The game for me is, do you have the patience to not attempt a barrel roll? Because for me, I would be going for a few minutes, and then my brain would be like, maybe just a quick one? And I'm like, no, brain, I can't do a barrel roll right now. I have to fly the boring plane. And it got worse and worse where my brain was like, America's been through a lot, Justin. Maybe it needs this barrel roll right now. I figure how inspired everyone would be for just one quick barrel roll. And then you try to do anything fun, it's like you broke your plane. Your plane broke in half because you tried to fly too cool. But that, I like I say, it's dumb. I just wish it was a little more flexible.
I was going to say, I do want to mention one of the planes that I flew, which was like one of the smaller planes, did have a sticker above the flight yoke that said no intentional barrels, which I think leaves a lot of room for a potential barrel.
You fly into a tornado and then it's in God's hands.
That's the kind of fun shit, dumb shit like that that's a little more bite-sized. Like something like fly through this tornado, like dumb stuff like that. I would like it more activity based, I think would be cool.
Like it really feels like this game was made to ship for hardcore flight sim fans. It, to the point where like things that would be seemingly obvious, like being able to just start at a specific point on the map are way more difficult than they should be. Like the main menu is not especially clear at times.
To drive that home, if you want to start from a specific point or set a waypoint, like an arrival waypoint at a certain place, the only way I could find to do it is to punch in specific like geographical coordinates. Like I couldn't right click somewhere on the map and set that location that I clicked, you know, anywhere that wasn't a waypoint already to be like, if I wanted to fly to my house, I would have to punch in the exact coordinates of my house and then search for those, and then it would allow me to set that as like my destination. I couldn't just go to where I knew my address was and then like right click it there. I have to have that. It's wild.
I was going to say, it feels like, you know, the people that like get really into like Euro Road Trip Trucker 4, this is them. Like, this is their game.
The ultimate version of that.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, the thing that I also wonder is like, is it like how the rules used to be for driving sims, where it was like you can have zero crashes if you want to have BMW or Honda inside of your game because they don't want to have any representation of car wrecks? And like, is that a reason we don't see things that are a little lighter or sillier?
Well, I would say one thing. If you do happen to have the game, the one thing that I would recommend that counted as like quasi-light was they have these landing challenges where you have to land on like very small runways. So I landed on one in the French Alps that was like less than 1,000 feet on the side of a cliff. And I like tried it like 6 or 7 times until I got it, and it was pretty satisfying. So like that's the closest like mini objective thing that I've seen. And then I tried to land a 747 at JFK Airport and it went very wrong very quickly.
Yeah. So the other thing I'd say is to Justin's point of like, I can't just like go around and see things easily. There's actually a camera mode that reminds me so much of, I can't remember what the damn game was, but on the Nintendo 64, there was a golfing game. It was terrible, at least for me, but you could go into a golf cart mode, which was really just free roam, no clipping camera, and you could drive through the open world of a golf course, which at the time felt like wild. Like, oh my gosh, I'm just moving around this giant open space, free for all. You can do a version of that in Flight Simulator where you pause, everything around you keeps moving, but your plane just freezes in midair, and then you can tour around the world in a free camera. So you can zoom all the way down to Earth and like just stroll through neighborhoods, trying to find landmarks and stuff. And that is super cool. And obviously not a selling point, but yeah.
You could also do what I do, which is crash your plane upside down in the trees behind your house and then just kind of look at it through the window longingly. So who here actually went to their house?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Of course.
Yeah.
I tried to. They did not try with Huntington. I saw the stadium and I was like, I guess I'm kind of in the basic area, but none of the buildings were recognizable to me.
They got the texture of the like stucco on the outside of my garage correctly. And I was like, I started to get kind of Ron Swanson about it. Like, I don't actually love that y'all clocked my stucco.
New York is amazing for what it's worth. Like for the big cities, they really do a direct texture map of what the actual buildings look like. So my building looks identical to how it looks in real life, which is pretty nuts.
When am I going to get that tech for a Spider-Man game? Please. Yeah. Just, it's there. It exists now. Just do it.
I mean, I will say the second you freeze the camera, like, cause there's active pause where you can like rotate the camera around. It's very clear that the graphics do not hold up on like a close inspection standpoint.
A molecular level. Yeah.
It's just janky cause it's from space.
I feel like our, qualitative review of this game has been a bit murky, so I wanted to say that it kind of surprised me in how it slots into this pseudo genre that I didn't know how into it I was until this year, and maybe it's just because of how, you know, cloistered we all are, and I enjoy a good learn from time to time, but there's something educational, obviously, about like here's what plane terminology is, and here's the basics of what pilots have to do in order to fly a plane. I also felt like it gave me an understanding of the physics of plane flight in a way that like no book or you know whatever like really ever has, by making me sort of have to interact with it, like learning how lift like actually affects a plane and what drag is used for and how you accomplish those things with plane controls, like in the same way that Clubhouse Games like taught me a lot about gaming literacy in a sort of roundabout way. I feel like this game teaches you a lot about physics in a roundabout way that I found very, very, very satisfying, even if I didn't have like a lot of, you know, traditional super fun with it.
There's so much to learn. I feel like it needs to almost be kind of branching where like I can click on anything. This was weird that I couldn't click on something in my display and it just tells me what it is or like how I control it or how I alter it. I found that like really very strange. And I feel like I can't really recommend it in terms of like if you don't think you'll be into just like flight sim in general, I don't think it's necessarily worth it for the you know, the educational aspects of it. It's very cool, and I learned something, but I don't know if it'd be worth the price of admission.
Here's my very, very easy, super easy, everybody should try it recommendation. It's on Xbox Game Pass on PC.
Whoa, really?
Oh, well, shit. Go for
just
it.
Just fucking play go it. Go play it. Like, I'm so excited to see, like, what this show becomes as Game Pass and things like it become the norm. Because I think it just allows us to, one, more people who listen to our show can just try things in the same way that we often do. And this is just such that sort of game. Do I think every person in the world should buy this game? No. Like, that would be a lot to ask. But do I think everybody should at least get 2 hours, like, surfing the skies? Yeah, absolutely.
4 hours, 2 hours for installation, and then 2 hours to...
It's worth the time investment is worth it, if not the financial one. Fair. Also, I do think this is probably going to be Xbox's first big swing at game as a service. And I'm super curious to see what this game looks like 2 or 3 years from now.
Let me get that Superman mod. That's all I need. Russ, you've cooked up something for us to test our newfound acumen. Is that correct?
No, I haven't cooked up something for you.
Fate has.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
So Chris Plant, your favorite folks, Chris Plant, Justin McElroy, and Griffin McElroy have found themselves on a 747 airliner, and disaster has struck. The pilot is sick. The co-pilot is sick. They all ate from the same plate of fish, just like in that movie Airplane, and they are out of commission. And it's up to them.
That is quite the diarrhea they've got there, if it's keeping them from doing their duty of landing the airplane.
Yeah, so you know how when you drink in when you're flying, it's like more powerful?
Okay, say no more, please.
So it is up to these three heroes to land this plane safely using the knowledge that they've gained from Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020.
Now, I noticed in the rundown for the episode, you've left the WikiHow article on how to land a Boeing
747. Do not use the link that's in there. I am no longer using the link behind the curtain. I'm using another source that is also WikiHow.
So we're in this plane. A few questions before we get all take our turns. How
well,
far
no
away
one
from
is
the
doing anything, so
we?
The plane is actively plummeting to the ground right now. So just letting you know.
No, how far away from the airport are we, and how high in the air are we?
Well, I'll tell you, you're getting much, much closer to the ground at every passing second. But you
are. Are we vertically? Yeah,
no, not
zooming?
Vertical. No, you're like a 45 degree angle going.
Also, are we in the clouds? 45 degrees.
Damn!
Is incredibly
I grab
steep.
The yoke and pull up.
Okay, yeah. Justin grabs the yoke and pulls. Wait, up. How far do you pull up, Justin? How far do you pull up? Like how hard?
Until my attitude is level.
Terrible fail.
What is Justin's dexterity? I wonder. What's your modifier?
My personal dexterity?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I'm a 39-year-old man with carpal tunnel syndrome who hasn't worked with his hands for 20 years, so it's pretty bad.
So in an attempt to yank the yoke directly upwards, you've actually pulled it directly into your chest, and the plane is now tilted upwards. Well done. But it's now stalling.
Oh, God.
Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to increase the throttle a little bit, maybe level us out a touch.
Okay.
That should be easier than pulling
yeah,
it
no.
up.
So you good work, Griffin. You've leveled us out. Things are running.
But I don't want us to be level. We need to be at a descent attitude, which means we're going to have to.
We level first, and then we'll begin our descent.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, things are running level. You are about 17 miles away from the airport.
Oh, good. Then we're fine.
We do need to begin. And how high are we again?
13 miles.
No, you don't
we're 13
know.
Miles
we're
high.
13 fucking miles off the ground.
Uh-huh. So we're burning.
You're in
we're
space.
Burning. We're on fire.
No, you're let's say 2,000 feet up.
Okay, so
2,000. 2,000. You didn't play Microsoft Flight Simulator, right? Because even I know that that's not.
Do
correct.
You know the difference?
Is that lower high? Wait,
how high do you think a mile is in feet?
5,280 feet.
Okay.
So you're half a mile up.
Oh my god.
So so we're half a mile up, but before you were telling us that we were over 60,000 feet in the sky. Is that what you're so you've gone from 60,000 to 2. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's
okay.
accurate.
Okay.
It's Chris Plant's turn.
Okay, so we're very close to the ground.
Very
so
close
we do
to
not
the ground. And level. Well done, Griffin. You're level.
Yeah, I mean, yes. So fat lot of good it's going to do us. One particularly ambitious building, and that's a rip.
I want to call to see if I have the phone number for Sully Sullenberger.
Oh, well, like what's in front of us, between us and the runway?
It's mostly farmland.
Farmland. Okay, good. I'm feeling good. I mean, at this point, I feel like even if we don't hit the runway, we're probably going to be okay. So
interesting.
Okay, so
what kind of plane is this? It's a big one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a Boeing 747 Superliner.
Oh, okay. So we're already if we're that low, we need to pretty rapidly reduce our speed because if we're going over what is it, 25 knots? Is that it?
You're going 250 knots.
Yeah. So we need to.
Are you
there
fucking
it is.
Kidding me?
Well, it's a 747. They go fast.
Okay, so we're going to gradually decrease our speed.
Okay.
And ever so slightly, well, actually, right now, we're not even going to lower our nose. We're actually going, because if we do that,
so
we'll just crash into the ground.
Okay, so you're gradually just decreasing speed.
Decreasing speed, yeah.
Okay. You are now going 100 knots.
Okay, wow, that worked out pretty well from 250. Okay, mm-hmm. So now it's Justin's turn.
Land it.
So so you go to land it, and there is a farmland. So you're going to try to land in the farmland?
Is there any water? Can I see any? Do I have visibility on any water?
I should have mentioned
you're
in Iowa.
You didn't tell us that. Yeah, you should have told us.
I don't know any. I don't know anybody in Iowa. I'm going to bring her down.
Yeah.
So you're going to attempt to land in this farm. Do you have a preference for which produce farm you're going for?
Corn. Water.
Not corn.
Watercress.
There's no water. It's Iowa.
Watercress.
You're going to go for the watercress?
Get something squishy that's going to break. Corn will go into the
engines
like a bunch of missiles.
Watercress landing.
Okay.
Okay, so it should be noted the watercress.
Three souls on board.
Watercress is not in season right now. Does that change your decision in any way?
Okay, I'm going to go with tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Ooh, good. Good.
Iowa tomatoes.
Okay, so you're basically lining up to go to land for the tomatoes. The tomatoes are a mile away, and you're kind of angling yourself down, aiming for those big red circles.
I hate to ruin Iowa tomatoes. They're famous statewide for their plumpness and juiciness.
Griffin, you're now 10 feet above the ground, about to land.
What are you talking about?
Okay, how fast are we going?
100 knots.
We're dead.
We're dead, baby.
We're going to die.
Risk.
I tell Justin I asked Justin and Chris to real quick check on the pilots back in the fuselage, and then I shut and lock the door of the cabin so that they can do no more fucking harm to this process. And then I'm going to pull up because we're going 100 knots, 10 feet off the ground.
Well, yeah, if there is a
tall person will be decapitated by the landing gear.
You know, oh, it's funny you should mention the landing gear, which hasn't been discussed yet.
I want to do a contested strength check with Griffin to see if I can wrest control from him.
Well, you're locked out. So you do need to break through.
No, he didn't have to roll for that. I want to contest his.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah, that's a critical strength check from Justin. So success.
Okay, so now I'm in control.
Wait, what happens if it's a crit? How exactly do you take control from your brother?
What? I give him a forearm shiver right to the bridge of his nose. He's unconscious. He's out. I've bloodied Griffin.
Okay.
What's our landing gear? Is it deployed or not?
It is not deployed.
Deploy it.
Okay, you push the button for landing gear. It lowers to the ground. You're at what, 15 feet off the ground because of Griffin's slight efforts to raise the
flare. I'm gonna flare it, baby. I'm pulling that yoke to flare.
Okay, you're flaring the plane.
My flaps are down.
Flaps are down. The plane is slowing to 50 knots.
Getting closer.
Man. Things are great, but Chris Plant.
The people of Iowa like podcaster marinara. That's what they're about to have. All over this field.
I mean,
Plant, quick.
It seems like we are rapidly decreasing speed. So, I mean, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna put those wheels to the ground, and then. So
that's two turns. Are you gonna pray or are you gonna put the wheels to the ground?
No, I'm gonna put the wheels to the ground.
Okay.
But here's how I'm gonna do it because things
I
have
wanted
to happen.
Russ to have it's, to it, roll it, for the existence of a malevolent deity.
Yeah, this has to take place in a few seconds. So I'm gonna do a whole bunch of things all at once. I'm going to press down into the ground, and then I'm going to very gently pull the nose up to help decrease the speed. Yes. So it's pressed down and then up. And decrease the speed. And the second that I am down and I am decreased and all the wheels are on the ground, I'm going to flip that brake.
You're going to flip the brake the second that you're down.
No, sorry.
Did it.
No, I very clearly said this takes place over multiple seconds.
You said it, Chris.
Let's see.
Okay, fine. Roll it.
Okay. So the plane is lowering. You're at 10 feet, 5 feet. The plane hits the ground. Chris yanks on the parking brake, and the front of the plane flips over on its back.
Oh my gosh!
And
I'm unconscious, right? I'm unconscious, so I don't feel it.
Yeah, Griffin is completely out. Justin, you're upside down. The plane is otherwise intact; it's just upside down.
Oh, so it's a good landing.
And then wait, it's like smash cut to title card lost too. In Iowa.
Well, congrats. You found your way onto the ground. Well done.
Thank you so much. Wow, that was fun.
Can I just say the diarrhea pilots really set us up to fail.
Oh, man, can you imagine where all the diarrhea went after we flipped the plane?
I don't want to think about it. Any communique from our beloved listeners this week, Plant?
Yeah, here, let me get some stuff. Well, first, I thank you to everybody, because quite literally everybody let us know about the Minions tweet and the Fall Guys. Yes, a Minions costume for Team Yellow is our idea, and we are trying to negotiate royalties.
Oh, did that come straight? Studio. Did that come straight from the top, from DreamWorks?
It came from some, but not DreamWorks. Some other group. here's some specific messages from Shay on Twitter. Living on the other side of my country, to most of my family while in full lockdown, I had a very profound and emotional experience, virtually visiting my parents' new farm in a nearly photorealistic rendition. Did any of you get any intense feels while playing Microsoft Flight Simulator?
I visited Iceland, where I had my honeymoon, and that was very,
I did
very
the
cool.
same thing. I mean, I didn't go to Iceland. I went to Hakone, which I visited on my honeymoon. And it was super neat. It was very cool. I don't know that I got like a huge emotional rush out of it, but seeing like the places that I went to and had some very happy times was a real put some wind in my sails, to use a flying term.
Mm-hmm. I want to share a note from Millie, because last week Justin asked people to tell us their feelings on Flight Simulator before they installed it and then after they played it. For Millie, before message, I have never played a flight simulator, but I just got a new PC and I do love planes. Not enough to do much more than go, wow, look at those planes at an airport. So I'm going in and trying Flight Simulator 2020 for the first time later today. I will report back. And then a few hours later. So I've played the training levels for about an hour. When it works, it feels amazing. When it doesn't, I'm just left flying with no direction, as the game doesn't recognize that I fulfilled an instruction. There you go, Justin. Getting bugs in the most basic training kind of sucks for getting into this.
I actually don't know if that's a bug, for whatever it's worth. I just think that it, and I don't know Millie's experience, obviously, but I actually think it might just be, it's very literal about what it wants you to do. And it's not good at sort of compensating for maybe he's just a rebel who flies by his own rules.
Millie also added, also, I now really know why we don't fly planes with keyboards. No sensitivity is how I can pull out the yoke makes life pretty difficult. I hear controller is better, but I haven't tried it yet. And yes, that's true. Honestly, controller is still not as sensitive as a flight stick. This is a question from Haruza on Twitter. Is it possible in this game to fly the plane upside down, like in the blockbuster film Flight starring Denzel Washington?
Not for very long.
Yes, I think the thing to remember with Flight starring Denzel Washington is it's not so much that he flies the plane upside down as he does a very controlled barrel roll.
Yeah.
And I think that is doable in this game. You could do a controlled barrel roll, but you can't just like fly upside down forever. That's not how planes work.
Are there stunt? I didn't fly all the planes, so I don't know if there are stunt planes.
Yeah, there are some planes that let you do some pretty stunty stuff.
Traditional planes are intended to manage lift, which upside down becomes sink, I guess. I don't know what the opposite of lift is.
Yes. And one last question, not related to Flight Simulator, from Evan. Can't remember the prompt for this week, but here's a question. What's the best game you've never played that you're okay never playing? For me, it's Bloodborne.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Oof, I don't know, man. Nier Automata?
you jerk.
Wow, that's wild. Hey, any one of these, this is a loaded question. Any one of these is going to piss somebody off. You should definitely play Nier Automata and Bloodborne. Everyone should play both of those titles.
You know what mine is? Civilization.
Fuck, I love Nier Automata.
It's a great game. So let's talk about it. Civilization is mine. I think I understand why people love it. I'm sure it's great. I know I do not have enough time in my life to play it. Or also World of Warcraft would be right up there in that same world.
Yeah, it would have to be some genre that I'm not like any fighting game. Like, there are so many. I listen to podcasts of people talking about Evo and like all the like dope shit that people are doing, and I'll watch a clip of a fighting game from time to time and be like, oh, that looks pretty rad, but I just have no interest in actually playing it.
Y'all, what else are you playing this week? Because I am excited to talk about this section, because I've been playing some good stuff.
You know what I dip back into? I'll just say very quickly, because it's a very old game, but my daughter is 6. And I weirdly saw her watching a playthrough of She's of that age where she started watching like playthroughs on YouTube, and she was watching one of Broken Age. And I was like, oh shit, you know what? You could play Broken Age. You could absolutely do that. So we dip back into it. I love that game. It is beautiful. It's so funny and well-written, and the puzzles are neat, and it sounds great. It's just, I mean, I hadn't thought about Broken Age for years, so it was cool to see it again and share that with her. And it's very, like, very approachable for her, even at six. You know, she reads some, but it's much more about, like, puzzle experimentation, something right. like that. It's very neat. Broken Age. Great game.
I downloaded Neverwinter Nights on iOS, which just dropped, and I never played that one, even though it's sort of a seminal D&D video game classic. And it was not pleasant to play it on iOS. Just, it works fine, but just like the interface was not my preferred way to do it. But it did give me a sort of hankering for a nice CRPG. So I picked up Pillars of Eternity on Switch, because I never played that one either. That was the Kickstarter-backed Obsidian CRPG. And there have been some patches to sort of fix it up, because when it dropped, it was really buggy, like super, super, super buggy. Like the text would just like glitch out, and like ranged attacks didn't work, which is not great. And apparently there's one more huge patch like coming soon that's going to bring everything up to sort of console parity. But yeah, I am enjoying it. Also, I've played so much more Heroes of Hammerwatch.
Me which, too.
Get up on that shit.
Yeah, I'm good. Playing a lot of that, but I'm really deep in that one.
Griffin, Wasteland 3 comes out.
Yeah.
Now?
I am psyched out of my mind for Baldur's Gate 3. Did you guys watch the... First of all, that live stream was super fun, and if you didn't watch it or don't really care about Baldur's Gate 3, it was the most fun sort of live pandemic quarantine event that I think anybody's done.
Yeah, that game looks wicked. I really like, for what it's worth, Wasteland 2 when it first came out. Very good game, and I think both games are essentially, both Baldur's Gate and Wasteland are kind of modern recreations of classic CRPGs.
Why don't we do that one for next week?
Is that... Could be. We could. I've never really... It's so funny. Like, I love D&D. I love RPGs. I love big games. But, like, I have never really... A CRPG has never really gotten its hooks in me, except for, what was that Sierra one? Arcanum of Steamworks and Magic Obscura.
Would you count Disco Elysium?
No. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's a CRPG.
No, I think it's a different... I think that's a different beast. When I think of CRPG, I think, like, tactical, multi.
It's its own weird thing.
Yeah.
Fresh, are you anything that you're playing?
Just, I played a lot more Hammerwatch. That was basically, and some more Desperados. I'm very, very near finishing Desperados 3, which continues to be really one of my favorite games of the year, for what it's worth.
Fresh is being coy. Fresh is playing something that you can't
and
talk
something
about
else that I can't talk about.
Yeah, it's very.
So
I've been playing a few different things, just trying little stuff while I'm on my exercise bike. Spiritfarer.
Oh yeah!
What a lovely little management sim about death. That's very cute, and I did not expect to be so touching. It's a game where you are helping souls come to terms with moving on post death. It's like sad and sweet. Kill It With Fire, which is a spider killing simulator, where you walk around a house and you try to kill spiders. You like it's kind of like Gone Home, but underneath half the objects are little spiders, and you smash them with a clipboard. But as the game progresses, your weapons become increasingly silly. So you'll get flames and Molotov cocktails and big guns, silence pistols. It's really silly, and I don't know. I think Danielle at Fanbyte wrote a piece about it, comparing it to like what would happen if you made a lighthearted immersive sim, and I think that's pretty spot on. Mm. And then lastly, people on Twitter have been telling us to play Hades Forever.
Well, we've been playing it.
Yeah,
haven't talked about it. Well, I haven't been playing it.
We did talk about it. We've talked about Hades. Oh.
Did we?
For sure we've talked about Hades.
I played, if you'll forgive me, the hell out of that game. I will probably go back.
It's on Switch now.
Final.
I don't think it's out yet.
I don't know if it's out yet.
Oh, is it not?
It's approaching its one point. It's like official release. But yeah, I went back and played more of it, and damn, that game is good. That game is really, really, really good. And maybe we'll talk about that more when we get to the 1.0 release then, if y'all have been playing enough of it. So yeah, that's it for me. There are a lot of good games out in the world right now.
We made it, guys. We made it through the fallow times.
Sure. I played Grifflands finally, Justin.
Griffin.
Yes.
Yes. What did
you
think?
It fucking kicks ass. It's so good. I didn't expect it to be a story like rich as it is, and it is story rich.
I've beat it twice now with both of the two characters. The next one should be out soon, but it's fucking great.
I do wish it was mobile in some way, because I feel like that would sort of match my gaming habits.
It'd be neat on Switch, yeah. For sure. It'll come on Switch.
Next week.
Bring it to Switch.
Next week. We are playing Madden, and that's the only game we're playing. We're all playing Madden, baby. Get excited.
No, we're playing Wasteland 3. That's the one game we're going to talk about. Only Wasteland 3.
Unless we play Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
Let's do a grab bag. Chris said everybody wants to hear us talk about Madden. I said nobody wants to hear us talk about Madden. So we were going to do a little like nerds box split. Madden Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered, which I've been very excited about since it was announced, and now I think Justin's coming in as a fucking splinter agent.
As a hero cool dude, neither jock nor nerd. Perhaps as a dweeboid, perhaps, or
a jock jam.
a popular kid. I'm escaping from having to play either Final Fantasy or Madden by volunteering to play Wasteland 3.
Well, should we just do it sounds like we're just doing an old episode of Besties then. It sounds like we're just doing old Besties.
Too many games?
Could we put up a fucking Twitter poll just to see which of these games people are most interested to hear us talk about?
Okay, I'll do that.
That's a good idea.
Do you
want to
add a fourth one? Fresh, do you have one?
No, I have a great idea. Wait, okay, Fresh, do you want to do four? Do you have one you want to do or no?
No, I don't fucking care. Just let's decide.
All right, Fresh Take has to play all of them. Here's what we'll do. We'll put up, allot 30 minutes, right? We'll put up a Twitter poll for which of those three games people want to hear. Uh-huh. The percentage of the votes that you get is the percentage of time of that 30 minutes that you get to talk about your game. Okay.
That's hysterical and good, and that's what we're doing. So play any of those. Okay. Play all of them. It's up to you.
Whichever one you want.
Yeah. If you want to hear a lot about Kansas City Barbecue, where to get some of the tastiest meats.
Russ looks right now like all three of us just like open mouth burped in his face.
I've got to use the bathroom so bad. So this is the end of the episode. You can follow and listen for free on Spotify. Please help share the show with besties.fan. We really appreciate it. If you want another season of the Besties, we got to get those numbers up. So share the show, besties.fan. Email us, mail@besties.fan. We're on Twitter @thebestiespod. And plan.
No, time for you to go potty, or else you're going to turn into one of those pirates.
Your fingers in the air. Well, anyway, I love you guys. Wow, that just came out of nowhere. Thanks for listening to The Besties. Be sure to join us again next week for The Besties, because should the world's best friends pick the world's best games.
The Besties is a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter and produced by Ben Hosley. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!